Gentlemen, welcome to the No Cash, No Code podcast. I am still facing relegation, your commissioner, Mr. Andre Clark, and I am joined by the man putting the thing into podcasting. How are you, Mr. Tom Maxwell?
So well, Andre. I hate international weeks, and doing a podcast with you 2 days before the start of a new game week really gets the juices flowing.
Mate, we are so different nowadays. I loved the international week. Not having to look at my team for two whole weeks was blissful. Yeah. And here we are. They're still there. She hasn't deleted itself. So we go again. Let's get reset. Let's take our minds back. I can't even really remember the fixtures. So, well, I can remember one. What happened?
Well, we'll come to the one you remember last, because it was the last game of the weekend. In many ways, I think that the no cash, no code success or failure this week came down to the first game of the game week, which was Spurs at Luton, early kickoff on a Saturday. The captaincy choices this week very, very heavily gave the outcome of who ended up doing well and who didn't. And many went for Son, expecting Spurs to give Luton a bit of a thumping. They certainly missed plenty of chances, but the red card was probably the killer for both Son and other attacking options, and it ended up being the defence that you wanted. Spurs won 1-0. Luton put in a very good shift, probably could have got more out of the game. But those who went for Son captain then had to wait until Sunday morning for Liverpool to turn up at Brighton and were left bitterly disappointed by Salah's performance in what was a cracking game, 2-2 draw. And Brighton again showing why they are up at the top end of the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Chelsea finally got the data to show in their results, winning 4-1 at Burnley. We'll come on to a couple of the players that did well there later. United got Scott McTominay's two injury time goals to paper over some pretty gaping cracks. Brentford, again, I thought performed very well. And then the last game of the game week, Arsenal versus Man City. Certainly from the neutral, not the game that we'd hoped for in terms of excitement, chances, etc. But you will not care one jot about that, Andre Clark.
One of those ones where you're investing lifestyle-wise, took the kids to bed, passed out on purpose, Apple Watch set to vibrate, wake up early, commando crawl downstairs, and you're thinking in the first half, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's 2 in the morning on a Sunday. This is not going well. And then obviously, they're calling it deflected, but I think he took it into account realistically. Martinelli cracks it off Ake's head into the opposite corner, obviously wrong foot in the keeper. And then it's quite painful. You know that yes, fist pump scream that you do while trying not to make any noise because you're going to wake up the entire household? And your chest's in pain, but your heart is full. Yeah, that's where I was on that one.
I love it.
And if the only chance we can get.
Compare where we started the podcast 2 weeks ago, where after your draw with Spurs, where I was having a go at you for being too doom and gloom after a decent point against a good side.
Two-two loss to Spurs is always hard to take. I'm so sorry. It's about how well they're playing. You don't want to be losing that game 2-2.
It was remarkably comfortable, a 1-0 win against the best team in the league. I was very impressed.
You feel comfortable. Interesting. It's tough, isn't it? Because it's them and you're behind the sofa the whole time and you're trying not to have your fan hat on. But with their missing players and our missing players, it's the first time I've started to believe that the gulf in squads is starting to be addressed. I mean, we missed our best player, obviously. Arguably Saliba, Rice, but not having Saka, being able to bring on Martinelli, and it was almost the opposite of what we had in recent games, where they can turn the tide with a person coming off the bench. The four centre-backs, six was it, I think they had in the pitch at one time, versus Martinelli's directness. That was a joy to watch. So yes, felt good about that. But to be honest, I needed it with what was going on in the world of fantasy by that point. I mean, this pod is not only about me, I guess. So who actually got some stuff right should we talk about? Who's your nomination for pick of the week?
So this is, it's one of the strongest slates of pick of the week that we've had in a long, long time. The two highest point scorers, individual players in fantasy football this week, are both only owned by one person in No Cash, No Code.
Fantastic.
But before we get to them, I wanted to give a shout out because feel like we haven't talked about him for at least one pod, but Colin Dash deserves a shout out for his pick of Palmer, Chelsea's young starlet that we signed from Manchester City. He is, I believe, the only owner of Palmer, although I'm now looking at and I'm realizing that I
don't see that, my friend.
No, sorry, I do apologize. It's not Colin. I always make the assumption that Colin is the one who's got the random pick. It's Fiske is the only owner
it is.
Of Palmer. 12 points starting now for Chelsea. It's hard to believe he's going to lose that spot given how well he played. And at 4.9 million, you could make a very strong case that that should be pick of the week based on how much it cost him. But Damien came second. He is the only owner of Spurs' centre-back, Van der Ven, another young man who looks like a hell of a signing for Spurs. Pacey, athletic, strong centre-back, a team that have really struggled defensively over the last few years. He really does look like a great pick. He got the only goal of the game against Luton, 15 points, highest point-scoring defender of the week. But the pick of the week goes to Nevin, who is the only owner left of Raheem Sterling. A man.
Really?
I got my season off to a good start as the only Sterling owner in week two when he scored all those points against Luton. And Raheem, the dream, put in his second good performance of the season, this time away at Burnley. A goal and two assists. He frankly could have ended up with more points than that. But he was the highest points scorer of the week in fantasy football. Raheem Sterling, 16 points, and the only owner in No Cash, No Code is Nevin. So he gets my pick of the week.
Yeah, it's a fantastic shout. I mean, I've got an up feeling about Sterling as an FPL player just based on him single-handedly ruining my team. Well, maybe I was involved as well. But I think the stoicism he showed was Nevin to have him in his squad when everyone else was flipping and flopping and panicking. He deserves his rewards on that. And we're seeing a resurgence there from Nevin. He needs to be higher up the table based on who he is and what he's done. So hopefully that's going to kickstart him overall. Personally, I think I would have gone with the Palmer shout. I love the value. I love the value in that one. And I like the fact it's not less of a legacy. I've had him for a while pick and more of a determinated. I've seen what he did last week. That's really jumping early. A very Maxwell X selection day, I say, for Fiske. So, yeah, congrats, Fiske. Welcome aboard. But I agree with you. Go through the pain with Sterling. It probably does deserve the extra nod.
I think that's only fair. And as a fan of the team, I took him out because I couldn't. The double whammy emotionally was too much of how many chances he was missing for both my team and my fantasy team. So, no, well done. Well done to Nevin. Why don't you tell us how those picks impacted team of the week?
I will do so. But one last on Sterling. I took him out for the opposite reason to you. I just couldn't bring myself to watch any more Chelsea games. And so having no players on the squad, I'm now excused from the joy that is of watching Chelsea games. Listener, when you're out here, you can watch every single game. And I like to be influenced by my FPL team, apart from obviously the Arsenal. So yeah, that just got rid of that unnecessary 90 minutes of my life. So let's go. When it comes to the teams of the week, obviously, we're going to talk about those that have had incredible scores, and it's going to lead to a sub-conversation, I guess, in how they went about getting those. But let's go straight to where the runners and riders are. We've got in the upper 60s, just a random cutoff point I'm going to go with 67 points. That's Kinderman and Pod's very own Tom Maxwell. Those are two top five performances on a wild card, which is the sub conversation we're going to have. We've got Elijah again, fourth on the week with a 69 pointer. But now let's get into where it really matters. We've got three teams in the 70s. Mike Brown, Damian Prunty, and would you believe it, Ali Maxwell. Now, I'm going to split some hairs here when it comes to which one of these are team of the week. We've got 70 points. We've got 70 points on a wild card. And we've got 75 minus four between these three teams. So there is an argument for all of these. Personally, I don't think if you're on a wild card, you should have a good score. You know, you're not really targeting that week. You're targeting the future. Doesn't matter if you've had a terrible week on a wild card. So that's Damien with 70 on a wild card. But both the other two, Ali Maxwell 70 and Michael Brown 71 de facto, have Salah captain. So there is an argument that the team itself is what got the points for Damien versus just a very good captaincy pick. So you've got Michael Brown with Salah at captain. And he's got a lovely team, hasn't he? That's why he is where he is. The Jensen pick didn't get a shout out for pick of the week. It's only the 10 points, but I mean, he knows something I don't. What is Jensen doing in his team? And what is Jensen doing in his team simultaneously? Solid defense there with Saliba and Trippier. I still have questions why Saliba's in there. I'll get over that at some point this season. And then you've got Ali. Was he playing at the start or was he playing possum? He has been marauding up the table. It's got Madison. It's got Salah captain, Trippier. It's got Gabriel. If you're top of the table, or top of the week, I should say, with an Arsenal defender against Man City, that deserves kudos in itself, quite frankly, because many would have benched. So how are we splitting this hair between these three teams? Do we go with the highest score, Michael Brown, 71? Do we go with the highest without a captain, but on a wild card? Or do we go with Ali just for the giggles? I have my decision, but where are you leaning to?
I think I'm giving it to Damien. I think that to get to 70, bearing in mind this week had a huge gap between the top and the bottom. It's really shuffled up the league in a big way. It's given us, for the first time, there is a genuine gap between the top four and those beneath. So to got to 70 points whilst choosing the wrong captain, I think deserved him the week.
Interesting. I think it's Mike Brown. And here's why. I think 75, to take the minus four, to take the minus four to bring in Porro and Neto, and both of them score, taking out Estupinan and Mbueno, that is such a good transfer. And you did that transfer when all around you were wildcarding, because he wildcarded early. So the fear with the wildcard early is it did what it did. It got him to the top of the table. When others wildcard, they closed the gap. And he went minus four. That's not a Michael Brown move. And consolidated on the lead. So obviously it's my choice because it's mine and there's no tiebreaker. Michael, we need to start talking about this guy and taking him seriously. That is a veteran move from a rookie to no cash, no code. You called it the start of season on the stats. Like, this is someone that we're going to be calling a contender. He's marched into the top 20K of the world at this point. So for me, let's go through this listener in case you haven't had a chance to see. Leno, two, but it's Fulham. That's been really good for him. Saliba, Trippier and Porro. Clean sweep of clean sheets in the defence. Then, as we mentioned, the odd outlier in a Neto, five, and a Jensen, 10. It's a really interesting, different midfield to everybody else's. He's managed to get the Salah, the Sun and the Haaland in way before that was fashionable. Fair play to you, Mike Brown, team of the week. So,
fair play. Fair play.
One
thing I wanted to flag, you just touched on Ali Maxwell and his meteoric rise. I know I flagged this to you last week, but Ali Maxwell didn't make a transfer for the first 4 weeks of the season. He's not taken a hit since then. His team value is 99.6 million. So lots of reasons why he should be finding this difficult. And yet he has had six green arrows in a row, which is...
Tyler, you missed that pun. There are 99 reasons. Sorry.
Team
value is not one.
He, six green arrows in a row. The next best in terms of form line is three green arrows. He is red hot at the moment and is only 40 odd points off the top four, which is pretty heady heights for Maxwell Jr.
I'm not gonna lie, Maxwell Jr. is an inspiration to those of us at the lower end of the table. That is fantastic work and slightly handicapped for those that wildcarded, which I'd like to touch on before we go through the hurt. So those that wildcarded, like, can I squeeze them all in? He's taking the other approach because he has to, and he's done incredibly well. So yeah, inspirational stuff there. Definitely worth the extra mention. But while we're on the wildcards, should we do a little wildcard watch? So, and first place on the wild card. So it was a big week. We knew there'd be lots of wild cards last week and the next week coming up. Obviously, for most of us, seasoned pros, there are natural windows that tend to happen, like after an international weekend. So a little bit risky, but for those that follow these things, fixture swings and just hating having Chelsea players were massive drivers for everyone. Oh, and Man United, obviously. Just a little pour a little sip for Man United fans. It's just been unbearable. So let's go through how the wildcarders have gone. We've got Damien, much mentioned on this one so far, 70 points straight out the bag. We've got Tom Maxwell. Let's have a little look at that team. How are you feeling wildcarding? Was 67 enough to justify the wildcard in your opinion?
Yeah, for sure. My team was a real mess last week with Saka, Botman, Estupiñán all out, to Mbama. Mbama at West Ham, who doesn't play. So if I hadn't wildcarded, although I missed out on Sterling's points, taking him out of my wildcard, I didn't have Salah, so I would have captained Son. I probably would have ended up with 40-odd points. And I suspect that those that wildcard this week will wildcard into a very, very similar team to mine. It will take one or two.
I believe so.
And my team for this week coming, I have got 11 players playing at home.
At home, I saw, yeah.
And
I noticed that when I was...
I'd be pretty disappointed if it's not a good week again this week, but disappointment.
And the injuries have been kind on the international weekend. It's been a kind one this time. We're not coming back to tons. We didn't mention this, but obviously one of the drivers for the wild card was the traffic lights that were going through people's teams, like reds and yellows all over the place. So yeah. Makes complete sense there. Kinder, 67 points, brings himself up. Went with a double Crystal Palace on his wild card. I mean, the stats were there, and he went all in and managed to create himself a differential, which is fantastic work. Salah and Son, he is one of the no Haalanders. So going to be interesting to see how this new trend works out. Then we've got Harry on 65 for his wild card. Stuck with the Haalands. He's got a team that's full of purples there. He's got the triple Aston Villa. He's got the double West Ham. It's going to be interesting to see, because he's on with a tough decision. Do I go with a burn and spread the money, or do I go with a Trippier? That one's gone net down so far, but the rest of the team has done pretty well. Salah captainer, which was his main reason for putting the wild card, I would assume. Let's just touch on the others rather than going through them all. So you've got Bob on 61, fellow Luis Diaz owner. He's gone triple Liverpool attack, so he's all in on those guys. Then you got Jay Brick with two sack of white rice. Love that as a team name. Finally got to say that out loud. If it wasn't for the Sun captaincy, if he'd gone Salah, he's probably going to be happy with that team. But the captaincy's let him down. Love the fact he's another Neto owner, as Arsenal might be soon. And then you've got Ross. We've got 43 points. We've got Rob Brook with a Sun captain on a wild card. I'm sure we're going to touch on her later. I don't think captaincy is maybe enough, but the wild card into a team that scores 43 must feel terrible. Anyway, so let's do the Hurt Awards. How are we feeling? Who had a terrible time?
So you just talked about Rob Brook wildcarding into 43 points, Andre. How did your...
We're short on time today. We're short on time today. just behind Rob with 42 points on a wild card. With the worst wild card of the season and the lowest wild card score, therefore, on the week, dropping down places, another four. I'm in 34th place now. I wild carded into that.
Time to turn it around, Andre. Plenty of time to turn it around. I just wanted.
I thought.
We've
I feel, listener, I should explain myself a little bit. I've really messed up on. I actually believed in Arsenal, and I wanted to be one of my differential was going to be Saka. I decided on the previous week Saka wouldn't play and dropped him. I decided on this week we were sandbagging and he definitely would play. It turns out I know nothing about Arsenal or Arteta. And I've been made to pay the price. It's not just that, but I kind of threw the week away on Diaz versus Salah. I genuinely thought that would be coverage on the points. It's just, I'm just not very good at this game. But there's many weeks to go. So mid-table obscurity is currently the aim and a bit of a cup run. Let's please move on from my team.
Let's move on, Andre. Thank you for taking us through that pain. I don't really have any particularly exciting hurt. There was one other thing I wanted to flag, but have you got any hurt?
Give me 1 second. I'm just checking in something. So do your flag and I'll come back. If that's okay.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is more something that I was going to allow you to riff on, but I feel like over the last few weeks, you've been going through quite a lot of pain, which I've been highlighting pretty regularly, quite smugly, sitting towards the top end of the table. But I thought I might give you just 30 seconds to talk about my decision to bring in a player that I have been so rude about consistently. A man that I've described as being a fraud, someone who I've said I would never spend that amount of money on. And Mo Salah has come straight into my wildcard team as my captain. I've had a bit of abuse already over WhatsApp from my brother, but I wanted to hold my hands up in front of our three listeners and just apologize because it feels dirty.
Does it? I respect you for it. Like, holding on to these grudges, it's hurt me many a time. I respected the fact you were like, you know what? My pride is not as important as my no cash, no cloak ranking. And I can only believe that. That's what we're here for, mate. I mean, it's one of those ones where you must have been begrudging every... It's like when I said Kane as captain. Well, you're begrudging every point, but also emotionally hedged. I'm guessing is how you felt. But walk me through. I mean, this is not a bad advice. Everyone knows what Salah is. What was he doing that made him for you a non-negotiable? I've got to bring this guy in.
It was a bit less of what he's been doing because he still struggles to finish any of his chances. And there are times where he's getting stuck out far too far on the right wing. His assist numbers clearly are off the charts this year, which is a very new thing for him. And adding a very different string to his bow. But the decision, bluntly, was Liverpool's attack is statistically off the charts good, and they have the most incredible fixture list over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I couldn't go without a Liverpool attacker. And although Diaz, Nunez, others were a preference maybe at some points in my wildcard thinking, the fact that both of them were going to be playing South American football over international break, Nunez went off with cramp late last night in his game for Uruguay, just meant that if you're going to start a wild card, you want to do it for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, and I don't really want to pick players who aren't going to play. And therefore, having the guy who you know is playing 90 minutes every single week and is taking the penalties, even if he likes to miss them occasionally, it just ended up being a no-brainer.
I completely agree with you on the thought process behind it. I'm very, very upset with myself. It's not about me, but the assist number I managed to convince myself meant that a Diaz would be getting the tap-ins, and I didn't need him to get all the points, but just one to match your overall. So no, I think your thought process was incredibly sound, obviously, and I'm very, very jealous, which just really highlights how smart Mike Brown was. He's one of the early movers. He wildcarded as soon as Salah, if I remember correctly, was going to be up and thereabouts, where most of us were thinking, this man's not finishing his dinner, he's not worth the money. He went very early on it. I think any of us that have wildcarded without having that man in the team are in an awful lot of trouble. I think that's it. I've just gone through the hurt, and what I was looking for was the net transfers to see who really struggled. I know mathematically a few people are down on the wildcard, myself included. but it's not easy for us to generate that. Everyone in the transfers is net positives. There's no one really to talk about. Transfer of the week is actually Andy Fisk, who we mentioned earlier. Esputinan to Anderson and Antonio to Watkins is a plus 12, even though he took a minus 8 on his transfers overall. So fantastic swinging there for Andy. So you get some extra flowers there overall. That's it. It's a clean week. I look forward to another week of fantasy football. Hurrah.
Say it like you mean it, brother. We'll speak again.
Look forward to texting you. I know, actually, we probably won't. This is the one fixture where we're very unlikely to contact each other, actually. During the game, I will be leaving a wedding drunk and finding a sports bar in Bali, and you will not hear from me unless you have to hear from me. They were my friend. All right.